Father, we thank you that we can come again this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, lead us and guide us now in these moments as we pray and first as we honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to John chapter 4. And a Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. And so, as in all prayers in the Bible, there's always much for us to glean and learn. And let us begin by just singing Jesus Messiah. So often we focus on the woman at the well, which is good, and we will. But really, this is more about Jesus than it is about the woman, in a sense, as at least the way I want to look at it today. Let's put it that way. So let us sing along. The words are on the back of your sheet. Did you all get a sheet? He became sin who knew no sin.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. And carry the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Messiah, name
close are you to your Messiah? As we read this account this morning of Jesus meeting this Samaritan woman, think about two or three things as we read it, and then we'll hit a couple of comments at the end. Think of Jesus' love for all people. Secondly, think about this as an example of how to witness, particularly to somebody who is not, well, most unbelievers are not all that open to the gospel, but you don't have the hatred there with many of them that existed here between the Jews and the Samaritans, and particularly between a woman and a man, and even more between a woman and a Jew, a Samaritan woman and a Jewish rabbi. I mean, that would have been the furthest apart you could get. And we know the story as it develops here. She is not the nicest lady in society, in a sense, having had five husbands, and the woman she's with is not her husband. So this is a pretty good test of a witness, wouldn't you think? I mean, this is not just somebody who's really just right on the edge, ready to receive, right? I mean, they're probably a little bit away from where they need to be. But just notice what our Lord does. Chapter 4, verse 1 of John. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, notice, he's tired. How do you like to witness when you're tired? Don't you want to just say, get away from me? I don't even want to talk to anybody. Here Jesus is tired. Set thus by the well, it was about the sixth hour, or about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food and probably took the leather pouch with them that they might have drawn water with. Then the woman of Samaria said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Today that well is still 100 feet deep. How well it was deep that time, we don't know, but it was a deep well, because it's probably been filled up somewhat since then. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor have to come here and draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. Then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband. In this, or in that, you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I speak to you. I who speak to you am He. At this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He was talking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see, a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Jesus said to him, or to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman. Notice that. Who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and they stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of His own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So just a beautiful account. I know you know it well, but there's just so much in here for you and for me, it would seem. Jesus is going to make 7 different comments to her. They're followed by 6 responses from her. And we start out, we see He is making a request. That's always good, ask somebody a question. If you ask them a question, generally you'll get an answer, particularly if it's kind of a neutral question, not, do you know whether or not you're going to hell? That may not be the best opening question. I mean, that if you don't have much time, that might be, if you're going down in an airplane, that's probably a good question to ask. But if you want to establish a relationship with a person, start out with something that's a little bit on neutral ground. Here, there, to well. He doesn't have anything to draw with. She can see that. And so he said, would you give me a drink? That's a harmless enough question, isn't it? And, of course, she answers and says, but you're a Jew. You know, Jews get thirsty too. Did you know that? I guess I don't. Then secondly, he gives her a benefit of the gospel message. Right off the bat, he gives her a benefit of the gospel message and tells her that the gift of God is living water. Well, that would kind of perk up your ears, living water. Living water is probably what they would relate to as a spring that was bubbling out of the ground, and this is just a well. Well, what's he talking about, living water? And so then she observes again, well, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. The well is deep. And are you greater than Jacob? You know, a little bit of pride here. And we got the well. You know, here you are, a Jew coming in here. And we got the well. Are you greater than Jacob who gave us the well? Have you got living water? Jesus said to her, again, a benefit in a sense, but also drawing her in. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Now, if you had to go out in that heat every day, and she's out probably in the middle of the day, that wasn't the time the women generally went for water. They usually went early in the morning when it's cool. But having had 5 husbands, and the woman which she's with now is not her husband, she probably wasn't the most popular gal in town. So she would probably came out there by herself. Not to run into people, it would be my guess, I don't know, but anyway, he says, I shall give him the drink that I give him, he shall never thirst, but it will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, she's not getting it. All she's thinking of, I don't want to have to come out in this heat and get the water, I think, because she says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. This is the prayer, really, in a way, here in this whole passage. Give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So she's hearing what he said. So when you're witnessing to people, they hear what you say, And it will come out in your conversation if you're making any headway. And sometimes they may turn you off and just leave, but most times not, particularly if you're continuing to engage them. So now he starts to get a little closer, starts to kind of come through her mask of this kind of, I'm sure she's kind of a flirty. I mean, if she's had all these husbands, she probably thinks she knows how to handle men and all, you know. Now he's going to break right through this mask, though. He says, go call your husband and come here, knowing something about her background, which we wouldn't know, but he would see into the heart and know that. Now, I don't have a husband. That's part of the truth, isn't it? She doesn't have a husband right now. And so now he commends her, even though it's not the best situation in the world. He says, you have said well. So he's commending the person and still going to draw them back. You've had five husbands, and the one you have, which is you're living with now, is not your husband. You spoke truly. So he's commending her for her honesty. And so he hasn't cut her off just because she's a rotten sinner, which many rotten sinners would expect to be cut off probably when you found out how much sin they were in or whatever. Then she says, I perceive you're a prophet. How else would you know this? Because she didn't know who he is. But then immediately she wants to, I think, divert the conversation, which most people do when you get in a witness with them. They want to go in and start arguing about the Bible. They want to start talking about the inconsistencies of the Bible. They want to talk about sinners in the church, or they want to talk about their bad experience or whatever it is. They need to keep bringing him back to Jesus. Keep bringing him back to Jesus. Don't get into a discussion. You'll never win anybody over by getting into a discussion on what they don't like. All you really do is kind of confirm in their minds that they're justified in their position, right? So she says, well, you Jews say worship in Jerusalem. We worship in this mountain, which is the right place to worship. Now, I don't know how or what her attitude, what her real motives are here are hard to tell without knowing the inflection on her voice and all, but we can just kind of suspect of where she is. She's trying to defend herself and defend her people, it seems like. But now Jesus cuts right through this, and he says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. What a great idea in witnessing that is. The thing we're talking about is not what's here on earth. It's not how you're getting along with people when you go into a church or whatever else that you would be complaining about. It's about eternal life, isn't it? It's about eternal life. And so he's talking about the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking those who worship him. So again, here's an invitation. Isn't it nice to know, even with my background of five husbands, and the man I'm living with is not my husband, that here this man, whoever he is, would say the Father is still seeking you? I mean, that would be a nice thing to know, other than, well, he doesn't want anything to you. You don't fit. Don't come into our church. You never, we don't want any sinners like you in our around, right? But for the Father is seeking such to worship him, and I don't think that has any limitations. So that applies to every one of you, every one of me, every day, really every hour of every day, as long as we have breath, right? And then, apparently, for the rest of eternity, we'll be praising him, right? Because it says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so now, we've taken it out of the culture of the Jews and the Samaritans and you're Italian. Well, the Italians is this, or you're whatever you are. It has nothing to do with it. We're talking about the Lord, and the Lord is one, and he is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And now she says, I've heard about the Messiah. I know he's coming. I'll just wait for him. He'll tell us all things. Now Jesus goes right to the heart. He's not said this to anyone else that I know recorded yet in the scripture. I who speak am he. Wow. So when you really get down to it and let somebody know who Jesus is and what they do for you and how much he loves you and so forth, then that's something hard to keep from telling other people. If you start to see that change in that spirit working in a life, so what happens? Now she runs into town and she says, wow, I met this guy. Could he be the Messiah? Now just on that. She doesn't quote scripture. She doesn't give the kind of closing words that we would like to use to make sure we get them. But they all run out, or some of them do anyway. They run out to see this just by virtue of her excitement, right? Because she didn't really have anything to say. If you're excited about Jesus, if you really have the love of Jesus coming out of you, people will want that. And, you know, you may say, well, I can't remember scripture. I can't remember all this doctrinal stuff all the time. You don't need to remember, in a way, any of that. Just tell them how much Jesus loves you and how much he loves them. And if you've got that excitement, they're going to want to know more. So they go in, and just on the basis of that, says, many believed. And then later, he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of the word of God. So, in closing here, we see Jesus loving everybody, right? Kind of reminds me of the interview with Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was at the top of the rung. He was one of the top rabbis in all of Israel. And here the woman is kind of at the bottom of the rung, isn't she? She's a Samaritan, which the Jews hated. She's on the outside. She's a half-breed because of Assyrian conquest and so forth in that area. And here she's an adulteress in a way with five husbands and living with a man who's not her husband. So she's like at the bottom of the rung. And yet Jesus shows such love to her even when he was tired and draws her right into the kingdom. And as a result of that, many more are drawn into the kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this great example in approaching strangers and approaching those who would be hostile to you, maybe are a little bit hostile to us. They may not just like the looks of us or anything else, particularly if they're kind of down and out or whatever. And Lord, help us to see them through your eyes, to see them through the lens of the cross, and Lord, to be praying continually to you, to be led by the Spirit as we tell others about you. But may we tell them, may we show them, may we not just be quiet, saved Christians. Yes, we are delighted, we are rejoicing that our names are written in the book of life, but with that joy would come the desire to let others know about you. And so lead us in this time of prayer this morning. And Lord, particularly as we get into the individual prayer times, may we be thinking about maybe 5-10 names that would come to our mind, that we can either pray for those names out loud or maybe all pray at the same time quietly those names. But we want to pray for the lost this morning, as well as for Creation Fest Scotland coming up this coming Saturday, I think it is, 27th. And then for the church again, and for the nation, and for our vice president, presidential candidates, and for our police officers and military. And then in small groups, we can bring out personal prayers too that we would have. So, Father, we thank you for this little study. We thank you for loving us and hearing our prayers. And so now, Lord, lead us by your Spirit that we would use this time and that we would all be praying as led by the Spirit. Therefore, we could agree with one another, and we keep these prayers short. We don't have much time, so let everybody pray once before we go around the second time if we can wait. And if the Spirit's really got something burning on you, then fine. Otherwise, keep your mouth closed, I guess. And so, Lord, lead us in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name, amen.